For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, Marriage is Natural, as we pick up in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
So we turn now in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I could do a lot of things I don't do. The reason why I don't do them is I do not want to be an offense unto a weaker brethren and destroy his relationship with God because of my own liberty in Christ. This is essentially what Paul is saying to the Corinthians. And he is telling them that they should be careful in their exercise of their own freedom in Christ, that they would not use it in such a way as it could be a stumbling block to a weaker brother. Now, as Paul is continuing this line of thought and this argument, he gives an example from his own personal life. Being an apostle, he could make many demands as an apostle that he refuses to make because he doesn't want to cause offense to anyone. So as he is getting into this apostleship now, and his rights as an apostle, he's only showing from his own personal experience how he puts into practice the principle that he has just sought to teach them. And that is, yes, you have liberty, you have the rights, but you don't have to always insist on your rights or exercise your liberty, especially if it hurts someone else. So the law that governs me is the law of love. My love for my brethren in Christ, especially those who might be weaker in the faith, my love for them is the law that governs my activities, not whether it is right or wrong. And so Paul said, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? That is, free to do whatever I want as an apostle? And have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? So he is using as a sign of his apostleship, first of all, that he had seen Christ the Lord. One of the requirements of apostleship in the early church was the ability to bear witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ by being an eyewitness of his resurrection. Now, there are those today within the church who are seeking to claim the authority of apostles. And they have, well, one of them died the other day, but they do have men who have claimed the authority of apostleship. From a New Testament standpoint, it would be a difficult kind of a claim to make. For one of the requirements was the ability to bear witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ by being an eyewitness. Paul declares that he saw Jesus. He also refers to the proof of the apostleship, their changed lives. They are his epistles of commendation, known and read of all men. He said, if I be not an apostle unto others, doubtless I am to you, For the seal of my apostleship is your being in the Lord, my ministry among you, the fruit of the ministry, the proof of my ministry, the fact that you are in the Lord. You are the seal of my apostleship. And my answer to them that do examine me in this. So he's saying, actually, this is my defense to those who would cross-examine. He's using in the Greek a couple of legal terms. And evidently, the divisions in Corinth led to the place where they said, well, we're of Apollos. And they began, as they did in many places, to challenge Paul's claim as an apostle. Paul said, I'm an apostle not by the will of man, but by the will of God. But they challenged his claim. They said, oh, he says he's an apostle, but, you know, he's not really an apostle. So they were challenging his apostleship. And so he said, my defense to them that would examine me in this issue is that I have the power, or have I not the power, to eat and to drink? Have we not the power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord, and also of Peter himself? Or I only and Barnabas, have we not the power to forbear working? We don't have to work. We have the power not to work as an apostle. For those who preach the gospel have every right to live by the gospel. He said, who goes to war at any time at his own expense? If you're going to war, they provide you. You don't go out and buy your gun and buy your boots and buy your helmet and buy your ammunition. Those things are provided for you if you're in the military. You don't have to buy your own F-15. So Paul said, who goes to war and pays his own expenses? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat the fruit from it? Or who feeds the flock and doesn't drink the milk? Say I these things as a man, or saith the law also? Am I just spouting off as a man, or does the Bible confirm this? And using as a scriptural basis for this premise, he said, it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. Does God take care of the oxen? So that was a part of the law, the ox that treaded down the corn. You weren't to put a muzzle on his mouth. As he was going through, pulling the plows and all, he could eat as he went through. You weren't to muzzle his mouth because he's laboring, he's working. Now, he's saying, does God take care of oxen? Is he more interested in oxen than he is in men? So Paul goes to the Old Testament to show that a servant has the right, or the ox has the right, to eat the corn that it is treading. Now, did the Lord say it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that plows should plow in hope. That is the hope of the harvest. And he that threshes, threshes in hope, that he might be the partaker of his own labor. Now, if we have sown to you in spiritual things, is it some great thing if we shall reap from you the carnal things? If others are partakers of this power over you, are not we even more? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but we suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Now, again, talking about the liberty to do things, the right to do things. Paul is pointing out that as an apostle, as being the instrument that God used to minister to these people spiritual life, having brought to them the word of God and the things of the Spirit, As an apostle, he had every right to be supported by them. He had every right to receive material benefits from them. However, he said, I did not do it, lest I would hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that they which minister about the holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? The priest who offered the sacrifices got a certain portion of the meat. He got a certain portion of the flour and these things that were brought as sacrifices from the people to sacrifice to the Lord. The priest got a share of those things, and he lived by these things that were brought in. Now, Paul is saying, I have every right to receive from you material recompense for my labors among you. Even so, he said, the Lord has ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things that it should be so done unto me, for it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. Now, Paul said, yes, I have every right, but I'm not exercising it. I'd rather be dead than to take a penny from you. Why did Paul have this attitude? Because unfortunately, in Paul's day, as it is in the present day, there are many ministers that abuse this right. There are many ministries that are constantly seeking gimmicks, methods, ways of extracting more money from the people. If you ever get on the mailing list of some of these evangelists, there is no end to their imaginations and the development of gimmicks to try and get you to send in your support for their ministries. You go to a lot of these services and you're exposed to a lot of the gimmickry. The Lord has revealed to me that there are 10 people here tonight that are going to give $1,000 for this ministry. The Lord has revealed there are 50 people going to give $500. That's not so. That's putting it mildly. That is gimmickry. That is deception. That's terrible. Now, because of this, many people have been turned away from the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they say, all they want is your money. And unfortunately, that is true in many places. That is the reason why here at Calvary Chapel, we never have pledges. That is the reason why here at Calvary Chapel, we never make any appeals for the offerings. Nothing more is ever said than the ushers will come forward to receive the tithes and the offerings, but it's up to you whether you give or not, and no one will ever ask you to give. That is why that we here at Calvary Chapel love to give to people, to just blow the minds of people who say the church is only out to get. That was same with Paul. He didn't want to be accused of being a mercenary, of just being after the people's money. He didn't want that to be an offense. And, you know, years ago when the Lord called me into the ministry, I had seen a lot of this begging for Jesus bit. I had seen these various types of offering appeals. In fact, in college, I was even taught how to make a strong appeal for money. taught how to develop drives and solicit pledges and things of this nature. But when the Lord called me to the ministry, I said, Lord, I'll make you a deal. I'll serve you in the ministry as long as you provide, but I'm never going to solicit my support from people. You take care of me. I'm not going to ask people. I'm not going to beg people for money. Money will never be an issue in my ministry. I feel that it is criminal and manifestly wrong for these ministers who are constantly begging people for their dollars. And you know, it's almost as bad as the time in the Roman church when they sold indulgences. You want to get your prayer answered? Send your offering in to us, you know. You've got an unsaved son? Send your offering to us and God will save him. You know, you can buy salvation for your son. You can buy healing for your mother. You can buy, you know, all kinds of indulgences. It's made out to be that way in these phony fundraising drives. If those who were soliciting those funds would live very simple lives, not live in a lavish style, then I could accept it. But when these same ones who are begging these poor little widows to sacrifice from their Social Security checks to send in to them, and they themselves are living a very high style of life, I find it intolerable. Paul the Apostle, I think I really identify and love this guy because he had much the same attitude that I have as far as money is concerned. He said, hey, I don't want your money. I won't take your money. I glory in the fact that I was able to provide for myself and the needs of my party while I was there, and we didn't take anything from you. And I'd rather be dead than to lose this bit of glorying that I had, that I did not take money from you. Though, as an apostle, I had every right. God has ordained that those that minister the gospel should live of the gospel. That is right. The ox is not to be muzzled. God, if he takes care of the ox, surely takes care of his servants that are out preaching his word. The priest lived by the things of the altar. I had every right to, but yet I didn't. Because I didn't want to be an offense. I didn't want to stumble somebody to think that I was, you know, trying to enrich myself through the preaching of the gospel. I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things that it should be done unto me. I'm not trying to make an appeal now, Paul said. That's not the purpose for my saying these things. For it were better that I be dead then some man make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I'm not preaching it for the glory or for the money. There's a necessity laid on me. There's a burden on my heart. Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. For if I do this thing willingly, then I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. So Paul said, I'm doing this willingly. Thus I have my reward, because I'm doing it willingly for the Lord. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. I love that. Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. Oh, how I thank God that our radio ministry does not depend upon the listeners for the support. How I thank God that we can go on the radio around the country and not have to spend 15 minutes a day in urging the people to support us this week, or we won't be on the air next week. I thank the Lord that we can just freely minister the gospel to people around the country, blowing their minds because they wonder, how in the world is this program supported? It's supported because God has laid upon the hearts of the people here to give, and it's more than we need, so we just use the excess to get the gospel out around the world. And you know what? The more we give, the more the Lord sends in. That's the amazing thing. We've been trying to outgive God. And every time we take on new stations and put more money into the radio to spread the word out further, the more God blesses, the more the supplies come in. And so we have seen the radio ministry expand from the original 25 to over 120 stations and another over 100 stations on Sunday broadcast only, plus cable television around the country. And we can do it without charge, and that's the glorious thing. Not looking for the support of the people, but just looking to God for His supply.
Looking for a powerful way to teach your children God's Word? Now you can bring the Bible to life with four beautifully illustrated books, all narrated by Pastor Chuck Smith. Saw with Noah as he obeys God and survives a great flood. Climb Mount Sinai with Moses and learn the Ten Commandments. Watch David face a giant with faith that conquers fear. And step into the empty tomb to discover the hope of the resurrection. Each book includes full-color pages and a bonus audio CD featuring Pastor Chuck and a guest voices like Greg Laurie, Skip Isaac, Ralph Reese, and many more. The story of Noah and the resurrection is also available as a DVD, perfect for kids ages 2 to 8. These timeless stories will help you plant seeds of faith that last a lifetime. Order the four-book pack special today at twft.com or call 1-800-272-9673. That's 1-800-272-WORD.
Now may the Lord be with you and keep you in His love and grace, watching over you, guiding you, protecting you through this week. May you be enriched in Christ Jesus in all things. And may your understanding of God's love be increased day by day as you begin to fathom the depths, experience the heights of God's love and grace and mercies towards you through Jesus.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of 1 Corinthians on our next broadcast. As Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning 1 Corinthians 9. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today.
Little country church on
program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.